her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight.
We got power rankings coming up in just a few minutes. Right?
Yes. It's a good one, another good one.
Oh, it's always good. Yeah. When's the last time it was bad?
I really like
how
close he is to the camera right now. He's all up in my face. There you go. Power rankings coming up in a few minutes, and then we've got Jeff Levering coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk about the Brewers, who won again last night. Christian Yelich did end up playing, despite the hand injury that we thought might keep him out for, at least yesterday. At least I thought that. But I want to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks right now, because there's a couple of stories that have popped. I like this. I talked to Ashton, our former producer, yesterday, and he said, we're going to start calling this Yonsense. All right, let's check in with our Yonsense today. So some of the news surrounding Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks today is this report that the Bucks are doing what I can only assume is due diligence, that the Bucks are talking to prospects who would be lottery picks. Bucks don't. They're not right now in a position where they would need to do homework on lottery picks.
Don't even have a first-round pick, Jen.
Yep, that's correct. But the father of a potential lottery pick says the Milwaukee Bucks have contacted his son and have been doing background research on him despite not owning a single 2025 first-round pick. That information according to NBA Big Board, if you're curious where that came from. Chu, how do you interpret this information? Do you think that the Bucks are preparing themselves to have a first-round pick? Theoretically, because they traded Giannis Antetokounmpo away.
I'm sure it's just due diligence, but I would be very leery of trading him for a lottery pick.
Well, that I'm would sorry. Just be a part of a that would be a part of a
no. I know it'd be
much
a part
larger
of a gay,
package.
But, the chances of getting the number one pick, which he's worth probably two of them, is a crapshoot, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but you're going to get players and picks. And if that package includes a pick this year, you don't want to get caught with your pants down, right? Like, you got to make sure you're doing all the due diligence in case you end up with one of those picks. Like, I've been 60-40 that Giannis stays. That 40% is still pretty significant. And I don't know how the Bucks feel. Have no idea. But obviously, they don't know what Giannis is going to say to them. If he's going to come and say, hey, I'm sticking around, but on the off chance, like, what percentage would it have to be for you not to do your due diligence? I mean, it would probably have to be 100%. You would have to be very confident he's coming back, right? Like, even 1%. You don't want to get caught off guard of, oh, crap, we didn't do our homework because we thought Giannis was coming back, because these are the picks that you're, again, like you said, it's a crapshoot, but hoping to potentially one day rebuild your franchise around if indeed Giannis does decide to go.
Yeah, if you're a Bucks fan, I would interpret this as a positive, and here's why. Because you want to believe that your franchise is competent. And only a competent franchise recognizes that they are not the only ones involved here, that they cannot dictate the outcome here exclusively. Therefore, to your point about getting, you can't stick your head in the sand and go, or dumb and dumber this thing, putting your fingers in your ears, la, 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 Giannis will never leave, he would never leave us, he loves us too much, he's too loyal to us. You can't do that, because if he chooses to go the other direction, you're screwed.
Well, even additionally, like, even if Giannis decides to stick around next year, what if he asks out the year after or the year after? Like, you still want to do your due diligence on these high-end draft picks? Like, just take a look at the finals. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander played a year for the Clippers before he got traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, if that ends up happening and you have a guy who plays one year somewhere, like, you want to have some idea about him, some sort of background, because once he signs an NBA contract, you can't talk to any of these players at all legally. Because I'm sure tampering never happens.
Do we know who the player was?
I can't remember offhand what was the name of the player.
Oh, did they figure it out?
I don't know. Do you know? I assume I can't remember.
I hadn't seen a name attached to it. Okay. I thought it was sort of done anonymously. The father of a player, the father of a lottery pick. I'm sure there are people there who are trying to figure out, you know, who it is. It's not an infinite number of possibilities. But at the end of the day, again, if you want to believe that this is a competent franchise, this is exactly the direction that you want them to go. So that, look, you got two doors in front of you. You would like for door number one to open up and not have to use any of this information. But God forbid door number two is the one that you're standing there with at the end of the game show. You want to be able to walk through it confidently, knowing that you have done your homework on a player who may be a part of your franchise in the near future.
Well, and again, it goes back to there have been some guys the Packers have picked up over the years, whether they were undrafted free agents that were on other practice squads or things like that, that were a part of their pre-draft prep. And even though they did not become a member of the team immediately after the draft, they eventually became a member of the Packers. Like, oh, they brought this guy in a couple of years ago on a pre-draft visit. Oh, they were doing their homework on this guy, and eventually that player comes back around. So just because you don't have a first-round pick doesn't mean you want to be sitting on your hands during this entire process, even if Giannis is a part of the team.
I want to throw this out there, Chu. I'm sorry. I want to throw this out there to you and get your reaction. Is it possible that the Bucks are looking to trade away Dame Lillard?
And what are you going to get for him?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if they think, could they be getting a top pick back for Dame Lillard?
No.
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 36, what they got to pay him, missing a year. I don't see that. But you think the Bucks know and they're not going to get what Giannis is worth? Do they know that?
Yeah, they know that. Like, no top player's ever getting traded for.
Yeah.
Because, and this is an old Bill Simmons thing when he used to write more about the NBA. Like, yeah, you can get four quarters in return. Like, if Giannis is worth a dollar, yeah, you can get four quarters in return. But those four quarters, they don't have the same power as the dollar. No. Like, it's still four quarters, you know? Like, you can make that make sense in your head, but, like, it's just not the same. Yeah, okay, I guess that's kind of equal value, but, like, that dollar has more purchase power than any of those one quarters do.
So do we look into the report that came out that said Bobby Portis is probably going to opt in? Does that tell us anything or no?
Tells me that you've been paying attention because that's exactly where I was going next.
Oh, okay.
So yes, sorry. No, that's great. No, not apology, because that's the next thing I was going to ask you guys was, of course, there was a report yesterday.
I mean, that's a positive, right? That's a positive.
Yeah, I would say that's a positive. Because I would say Bobby would be certainly a part of any sort of team around Giannis.
Sure, and it also sounds like it will be, for whatever it can be, team-friendly. It also sounds like there will be some flexibility for the Milwaukee Bucks, depending on how they structure this deal.
Yeah, because if he were to opt out and the Bucks wanted to keep him, again, it just becomes complicated quickly with the way the CBA is. Okay, how do we split up the amount of money we have through the different exemptions that we have and try to pay another guy that we want to bring back, because they want to bring back Kevin Porter Jr. They want to bring back Gary Trent Jr. They're going to want to bring those players back to put them around Giannis. And having another player who's now potentially somebody who could leave, that just complicates matters. Him opting in makes it easier for the Bucks offseason and some of the other things they're going to want to do to try to set this team up. Not for success next year, but the year after.
Get young.
Yeah, and that's why they want to bring back Gary Trent and Kevin Porter Jr. Those guys are the ones in their mid-20s that they would be younger and want to be a core part of the team.
And then there was the video from Kyle Kuzma where he was, I don't know, boxing? Was he working out, but he was boxing? And he posted, "Me to Giannis if you leave next year." So now we've got threats of violence against Giannis. So again, to me, the vibe around
the team.
My
money's on Giannis, by the way.
The vibe
no
around
offense,
the
Kyle.
Team, even with all of this uncertainty, is very good. Morale seems very high with these guys. Giannis is laughing at these things. Giannis is posting pictures. He's answering questions on social. Like, it doesn't feel like doomsday. And look. No. Is it possible that the rug will get pulled out from underneath us and we'll be left there going, what the hell happened? Maybe. But right now, it feels like the way things are rolling, everything's good. I don't know. Just a vibe check. That's how it feels.
The only thing that scares me is Luka. How that happened without anyone knowing, and it was the Lakers. That's the only thing that scares me. Like a Golden State saying, all right, here you go.
The Bucks are not going to trade Giannis without Giannis saying, "I want to be traded." That is the only thing, Chewy, of everything that's going on. The only thing I am most confident in is that the Bucks are not going to trade Giannis without Giannis asking out.
So if he says, "I'm traded," it's over.
If he asks for a trade, I wouldn't say it's 100% over, because I think I think there's a possibility of him going, "Hey, let's explore trades." They explore trades, and Giannis looks at those teams after, you know, okay, what would that team look like after a trade? And they take a look at it, and he goes, "Hey, all right, that's not as attractive as I once thought it was." Right? Like, so I think that possibility exists. Again, maybe that's just me holding on to hope, But I don't think it's 100% over. If it becomes public and he says, I want out, then it's over. If that demand becomes public.
So if they don't, you said you were 60-40 right now. If he went in, kept it under the table and said, yeah, I want to explore, then what do you give it, Gabe?
If they start exploring, then it's 25-75 the other way, like 75% chance he's gone. Because again, I think there's a decent chance, again, not a high chance, but a decent enough chance where he looks at, okay, here's what Houston would look like if I were to go there. Oh, mm-hmm. You got to give up that young guy and that young guy? Oh, man. Well, that's kind of now a similar situation I'd be in Milwaukee. Plus, they wouldn't have a lot of picks left. Okay. Well, let's try to take a look at this one, right? So I think that possibility still exists. But if he goes in and says, hey, I want out, yeah, that's not good for the Bucks.
For your next night out, revel in the fusion and artistry and flavor with sushi at St. Kate, offering guests an elevated experience where freshness and creativity converge in every bite. St. Kate, the Arts Hotel, introduces the addition of an exciting new sushi menu to its culinary repertoire. Indulge in the finest seafood, freshest ingredients, and expert craftsmanship for an inspired and delectable dining journey. Experience the art of sushi at St. Kate. Learn more at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. Power rankings coming up next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's the one thing you say almost weekly here on the show?
Less eat.
Try again.
I don't know.
What's the one thing you've got?
Big boobs.
You've got time.
Oh, time.
You've got time.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
We got there.
Took off. I needed a few more hints.
Yeah. What? We put you in a... That's Dave's fault.
On 94.5 ESPN.
All right, I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited. We're ready for it.
No, you're not. You don't need to lie.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, the guy, you catch the game?
It's Power Rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All right, time to do what I do best, and that is dominate. We've gone through top 10 power rankings for post-draft teams. Now we're going to do post-draft defenses.
Okay.
The top 10 defenses predicted for 2025.
I liked it better when he was doing, like, best holidays or best 4th of July foods. What happened to those?
It's coming back.
Okay.
It's coming back. All right, you guys ready? Give me 10.
Oh God, I'm not good at this 10 thing. So the challenge is I want to go from one down and then try to backfill.
Yeah, that's not the way. We don't have that kind of time.
We don't have that kind of time.
You know, I'll say this is where the Packers live. I'll say the Packers are number 10.
Well, you know who I'm not going to pick is the Bengals. how about the 49ers?
This is where the Dallas Cowboys live at number 10. They scare me after seeing this because I thought they were going to be another, I didn't think their defense, but the fact that they got them 10 and they added Pickens, Dallas could be a problem.
This is a total crapshoot for me, man. I really have no idea.
Nine.
Steelers, 9.
Yeah, I like the Steelers at 9.
Well, you both would be wrong because the Kansas City Chiefs are number 9.
Ooh.
Again, I really
I'd have gone a little higher, but
I have no concept of how to do this until I get to the top 5. How about Indianapolis Colts at number, what are we on, 8?
I'll say the Vikings at 8.
I'm going to say the Packers are 8.
Damn it.
Just for giggles. I'm going to say the Pack is 8.
Hating this so far. Don't anticipate it getting much better until we get to the top 5. You just said the Packers were number 8, you?
Yep.
Okay. How about...
I'll go Vikings again here at 7.
How about Seattle, number 7?
Gabe is correct. The Queens
are you on the board? Is that your first
7.
One?
I am on the board.
On the board.
I am not on the board. I haven't gotten a single one correct yet.
Well, when you pick the Jets and you pick the Bengals, you're probably not going to be on the board.
I did not pick the Jets, and I did not pick the Bengals. I said, you know who I'm not going to pick is the Bengals.
6.
All right, so this is where it starts to get a little clearer for me. I feel like I know the top five defenses in the league. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills here.
I will go with... let's go with the Rams.
Detroit Lions are six. So you went 8-7-6 in the division. Pretty good defense.
I guess, solid. I just assumed the Lions are going to be higher because they still played pretty good defense despite, you know, not having any of their preferred players out there.
All right, five.
Oh, man, this is not fun for me. How about Houston, number five?
A-O.
What about Baltimore? They decided to put them at five.
Okay.
Did you think they'd be higher?
I thought the Ravens would
be higher. I did as well.
I thought the Ravens would be higher.
In my mind list, I had the Ravens top three.
This could be potentially the worst job you guys have ever done.
What number are we on?
I think we're already there.
Number four.
Numero quattro.
Buffalo?
Yeah, Buffalo's got to be up there.
Well, these people here think Houston. They think Houston is four.
All right.
I haven't gotten a single one
right
yet.
I would tend to agree. Number three.
You know what's going to be great?
Rhymes
though,
my favorite guy at the station. Number three and...
Rhymes with your favorite guy at the station? Oh, three rhymes with D. Buffalo's at three.
A-O Buffalo.
Okay.
Little assist there.
So...
Gabe, that was a good no look right there. Solid.
Well, but okay. Now I'm stuck on who your favorite person at the station is.
Brian D.
Well, it just rhymed. So.
No, his favorite person Richie at the Pounce. Station is Richie Pounce.
Oh, so were you trying Richie to figure out right. Dog Pound?
Yeah,
yes, that's Browns. Exactly what I was doing.
Are one of you guys going to introduce me to him someday?
Yeah, if you're ever around
Josh,
here.
Josh, I'm coming back Saturday.
You're scared.
Well, Richie's not going to be here on Saturday.
Well, neither will I. Two.
I have Denver two.
Sure, Denver two.
Philadelphia Freedom is two. One.
Seriously? Denver is one?
Denver is one, and you guys stink.
Well.
That's fair.
You got, Gabe got two, Jen got one.
I just got Denver.
Well, that's one.
And I got one of the other ones.
Well, I mean, everybody got
Denver.
Well,
that was cheating. That was that was not fair.
What do you mean everyone got Denver? You only did the top 10. There were 20-plus teams it could have been.
Fair.
Okay. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Very excited to chat with Jeff Levering about your Milwaukee Brewers, who won again last night. Talk to him about what's going on with the Brew Crew right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
There's a fly ball in the center. Sending Friedel back. All the way back and gone again for Yelich. He's got the Baker's dozen, and the hitting streak is up to 9 games.
Christian Yelich has been hot, avoids a scare. We got a scare, but avoids a long-term injury. And the Brewers are now winners of 8 straight. So we bring in Jeff Levering to give us everything we need to know about the Brew Crew right now. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Good morning, everybody. Great to be with you.
Can't complain at all, right? Things are going so well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you wake up in the morning after 8 straight wins and you feel like you're going to win the day just by opening your eyes. That's a good thing.
What is the biggest difference between the team right now and a few weeks ago when people were wondering if they could really make some noise this season?
Yeah, so what, 2 weeks ago, the sky was falling, right?
Mm-hmm.
The team's not scoring runs. They get shut out 6 times in the first 17 days in the month of May. Now they've got 12 wins in the last 15 ball games, including the 8 in a row. And by the way, the 12 wins in the last 15 ball games, all by different starting pitchers. It's all different people who've got wins. It's crazy. 12 different people have contributed to this stretch on the mound. I'd say the biggest thing is And we were kind of joking around on the broadcast last night, me and Tim, but it's like that Happy Gilmore line where it's up and down and around, it's circular. Everybody in the offense is working together, right? It's not just one person. It's not Rhys Hoskins doing everything. It's not Jackson Churio doing everything. It's everybody getting involved. You're getting something out of the left side of the infield with Durbin and with Joey Ortiz, and you know, Christian Yelich has come on, of course. Jake Bowers is getting big hits. I mean, everybody is contributing to this stretch right now, and it makes it really tough for opposing pitching staffs to go and navigate through a lineup when there aren't necessarily any holes.
Jeff, why does StatCast hate Christian Yelich? Because I was at the game. I was at the game when he hit the walk-off grand slam, and when I found out, like, I could not wait to get on my phone and go, oh, how old are they? 400 feet. There's no way that thing was only 400 feet. And then last night, he hits a bomb off the batter's eye that apparently only went 417. So clearly StatCast is just biased against Christian Yelich.
I have no idea how. We were talking about that after the game last night. We were having a couple of cold beverages, me and the radio guys and Tommy Thrall, who does the Cincinnati broadcast on the radio. And we were sitting there going, there's no way that that's 417 feet.
Right?
It's 400 feet to the wall itself. And that ball hit above the camera area on the batter's eye. So that's at least another 40 feet right there. So you're looking minimum 440. And then we started having a conversation about a home run Keon Broxton hit, which would have been in 17-ish, something like that, in St. Louis, where it was originally measured at 495 feet. It was the longest home run in Busch Stadium 3's history. But because it wasn't hit by a Cardinal, the Cardinals went in and cooked the books and made it like 465. But it was measured originally at 495 feet. I don't know why StatCast hates Christian Yelich. I don't think they hate Christian Yelich because his exit velocity is still good. But they got to get some distance control. What about the one in Colorado? How's that 499 and not 500 feet 2 years ago?
Right?
Come on, man. Come on.
I think there's a conspiracy, and you need to get to the bottom of it, Jeff, in your spare time.
This sounds like a really good off-season project for me.
Jeff, I know we're about a month out from the All-Star game, but who do you think's got a good chance at making that roster?
I think that you got a pretty good opportunity for William Contreras behind the plate. I think Freddie Peralta's having a great season. He could be and should be an All-Star. Trevor McGill's going to have a really good opportunity to make the All-Star game the way that he's been throwing the ball out of the bullpen. I would say that those guys are probably front and center in terms of All-Stars. You look around the league, and there's just so much talent in every different position. Most of them play for the Dodgers or the Padres, but at the same time, or even the Phillies. But I feel like Contreras and McGill and Peralta, those are probably your three front runners for the All-Star game. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Everybody's going to get represented. I do know that.
Jeff Levering hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. We were talking about Yelich a few moments ago, also named National League Player of the Week yesterday. And it was his first since 2019, which is great for him, but also, wow, what a stretch. What have you seen that is the biggest difference between this version of Yelich and the one that we have seen for, you know, the last 5 years?
He's just on time, Jen, and it's a big thing in baseball, especially when hitting. It's just being on time, and it felt like that it took him some extra beats to get his body right. And I know he had the back surgery last year, and he came into spring training and was feeling healthy and had a normal-ish offseason, but it just felt like he was late on a lot of pitches, especially fastballs. And there are still some times where he's a little behind on fastballs. But he is demolishing off-speed pitches right now. The home run he hit last night was on a breaking ball. A couple of home runs that he hit in Philadelphia were on breaking balls, one against a lefty. He's just on time. He's getting that front foot down so it allows his hips to unlock and the bat's falling through. He's not hitting a bunch of ground balls at second base and at first base anymore. And I think another part of this, too, is that he's DH'd a ton. He hasn't played the field. And when you take on that role as an everyday DH, you can get lost in your own mind because you don't have another thing to go do, go play defense to get your mind off of what your at-bat was. I think he's really starting to figure out how to navigate, okay, if I just got out, what am I going to do between this at-bat and the next at-bat so I'm not stewing on being upset that I just got out, or, okay, I just hit a home run. How can I keep the good vibes going? It's a big game of mental gymnastics being a DH in Major League Baseball. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not just roll out of bed and hit. You have to really navigate the mental side of it. And I think he's starting to figure out what that looks like 2 months in.
Jeff, despite all the injuries to the pitching staff, that's still been solid through the first couple of months of the season here. The bullpen has been asked to do a lot. Is some of the pressure going to be taken off of them with the return of Jose Quintana and whenever Brandon Woodruff comes back? I know he's got another rehab start tonight, but he's expected back sooner rather than later at this point.
I tell you what, it has been remarkable what that pitching staff has been able to do. Every time Logan Henderson has taken the ball, now he's down in the minor leagues, but every time he's thrown the ball, it's been outstanding. Chad Patrick has done the same thing. Everybody that the Brewers have brought up from the minor leagues and has started a ball game for the Brewers, it's been remarkable. And they've used 12 different starting pitchers. That includes the openers. I think having Quintana back eases things up on the bullpen a bit. They were taxed in that month of May. Mm-hmm. And you could tell towards the middle part of the month of May that they were starting to really feel it. And that was not something that was going to be sustainable. But now they're in a position where they've got some off days that they can stack. What they did in Philadelphia, what they did last night. I mean, it's a really good situation to be in for the bullpen. Having Quintana back helps. You know, you're going to have to cover some innings from Brandon Woodruff. It's not like he's going to be able to come in and, all right, here's 7-8 innings every time he goes out. You're going to have to protect him a little, and you don't know what he's going to be like when he comes back. And hopefully he comes back sooner rather than later, maybe even this homestand. But the bullpen's ready, and again, I do think that they're in a better position. They have some versatility back there with D.L. Hall and Aaron Ashby and guys that can go multiple innings out of the bullpen. I think the bullpen is in pretty good shape, especially for when these guys come back. It's really starting to look like what the Brewers thought it was going to look like come spring training.
Jeff, how many consecutive wins does it take to start talking Moneyball and what the Oakland A's did?
Oh, my gosh, that's so far away. I'm in George Webb land right now. Let's get the George Webb burgers. And then we can start getting into Scott Hatteberg and Moneyball.
Okay.
And Justice and all those. Okay? And let's get to George Webb's and get everybody burgers first before we get going that. And that hasn't happened since 2018. Remember, that's the last time the Brewers got to the George Webb number, and it took a couple of wins in the playoffs to get there. So hopefully they're on track there. I know it's tough to do. It's tough to win a Major League Baseball game, and to let alone to do it 8 straight games, or hopefully tonight 9. But let's get to burgers first before we start worrying about what's going on with the A's.
And that's 12 straight wins, right? That hasn't changed. The George Webb thing,
yes.
Is it still 12 straight
yeah.
wins? Sorry, that was tricky to say, by the way. The 12 straight wins really gave me...
Well, it's early.
Gave my tongue a workout. I do want to talk about, though, you know, the baseball season is so long. And we always talk about, like, you know, not getting too high and not getting too low. I have told the guys, I'm throwing that away. I want to ride and die with this team and live and die by every pitch as the season goes on, because I don't want to miss it, right? I don't want to sit there and go, well, I waited until the postseason and now I missed the whole season. So when you sweep a team like the Phillies, like they did this past weekend, how much difference do you see as far as like pep in the step of the guys? How much difference is there in the locker room? Like, how do they internalize a milestone like that?
I think that they, as much as they want to stay in the moment, and they have to, right? As you mentioned, you have so many games and you can't live and die on every single game or every at-bat or every pitch. It's hard to do that. I use the phrase flush it a lot. When I was in high school, we had a coach that bought us all miniature toilets. And if something happened where you didn't like it, you got frustrated, you would go in there and you just go, all right, go flush it. And we literally had to go flush a toilet. But it was a nice mental exercise of don't worry about it. It's okay. You just flush it. You just move on and you move forward. You have to do that in the sport of baseball more than I feel like any other sport, because it happens so much. It's tough to do in golf. It's tough to do in football on a bad play. It's tough to do when you miss a shot, but you have to try and do it. But for a team to go in and sweep Philadelphia, and Rock says this all the time on TV broadcasts, it's not necessarily who you play, but when you play them. And for the circumstance of sweeping the Red Sox, they did it without Alex Bregman, right? And with the Phillies, they had no Bryce Harper. But you still have to play the schedule. You still have to win those ball games. You get a lot of confidence when you go into Philadelphia after you got swept there in 2024 in a bunch of close games. And then you go out there, and you never allowed that Philadelphia crowd to get into it. That was a huge part of it, right? They had 40,000 people every single day, and you had this opportunity to really quiet them, and you go out there and you punch them in the mouth, especially on Saturday when you put up 17 runs, and that crowd was never in it over the course of 3 days. So you can take that momentum into a series. Now, you're not going to have 40,000 people probably combined in the three games we're in Cincinnati, but you've got the biggest homestand coming up, and you've got serious contenders coming in with the Padres, the Braves, and the Cardinals for days. You're trying to ride that momentum as much as you can, and getting a big sweep against Philadelphia can go a long way, I feel like.
These things get broken up in the baseball season. You always have those milestones. And with the injuries that we had that you just talked about in the pitching staff, at least I was thinking, okay, get through some of these injuries around 500, start making your move. And I think that's what we're starting to see now. But at this point in the season, you know, we're still a little less than 2 months away from the trade deadline. Where would they have to be in 6 weeks in order for them to seriously start thinking about, okay, what can we add to this team to make a push?
Yeah, I mean, within striking distance, and they're definitely within striking distance. You got another series with the Cubs before the trade deadline comes around, go down to Wrigley in the middle of this month before we go to Minnesota on the next road trip. But it's just as long as you're in striking distance, to give yourself an opportunity, right? That's what you want. That's what you want. And now that there's no more waiver claim, trade deadline, non-waiver deadline in September, you have to make a push at the end of July and the beginning of August. And that's a tough thing to do because you can't account for any injuries or anything like that over the next 2 months of the regular season. I think that they're in a pretty good spot. They're getting their guys back. They've shown that they have very good depth in the minor leagues, especially on the pitching side of things. If they're going to make a move, it's probably not going to be on the pitching side. It would be more on the offensive side of things, maybe the left side of the infield. You just never know. You never know. But as long as they're in striking distance, they're always going to err on the side of being aggressive, it feels like.
Jeff, before we let you go, a little bit of fun here. This morning we were talking about a gentleman in Canada who bought his girlfriend a lottery ticket. They end up winning $3.6 million, but he didn't have an ID or a bank account to collect the money. So she collected it, put it in her bank account, and promptly disappeared.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right, for sure. Yeah.
Your reaction.
What was the question? What was the question?
Well, I was going to say your reaction. I think you gave us a good reaction.
I think we got it, yeah.
How do you think this is going to shake out? He is now suing her for the money.
Yeah, but the cat doesn't have an ID or a bank account. What? First of all, I got questions about her. Why is she dating this guy who's got no ID and no bank account?
He's very lucky,
no,
apparently.
Is that not, no, yeah, seriously. And he's got the stones to sue her because she's given him a handout? Come on. I'm out. She did the right thing. She's out. She's Audi 3000.
We summarized it by saying mistakes were made. Okay?
Like, yeah, mistakes. There were a lot of mistakes. There were a lot of mistakes. And now she's reaping the benefits of it.
Jeff, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon. Look forward to hearing your call on the game.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, guys.
Jeff Levering, great stuff there about your Milwaukee Brewers, who are absolutely on a tear right now. It has been fun to watch, and we will continue watching them this season. Hopefully they will continue to do well. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel is known for its endless ways to win. Friday, June 27th, they are showing why that is the standard with the highly anticipated season finale of Blockbuster Drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes is up for grabs. Be there to win your share June 27th only at Pottawatomie. More information is available online. You must be 21 years old to play.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah, you want some sort of
alone.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
It's just necessary.
You follow
like, you don't want to just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Yesterday was a tough day, guys. You probably saw the news that one of my former colleagues at the network died by suicide after a lengthy battle with depression. For Mental Health Awareness Month, BetterHelp surveyed 16,000 people across 23 countries for its first ever State of Stigma report. They found that while 75% of people believe it is wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy. And perhaps therapy would be the difference between some people who we have lost being here and not being here, which is why we are so adamant about this message, which is why we are pushing it so heavily. We believe that therapy helps. We believe that therapy makes a difference. We believe that we are all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. There are 35,000 therapists. BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally. If you or someone you love is struggling with their mental health, push them in this direction. Point them in this direction. We're all better with help. It's BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month. Seems like the Jordan Love conversation will continue. I just saw them discussing it on Get Up this morning about has Jordan Love regressed? If you take one thing from the conversation that we have had here this morning, Gabe, what do you hope people take away from this conversation, which, again, is not just a Wisconsin thing. It is being discussed globally, nationally.
Don't get lost in the, I don't know why we.
Rhetoric?
Yes. Why we decided to, has he regressed? I don't know if that was the question that was initially asked last week of Jordan, of Matt LaFleur. Let's instead focus on, does Jordan Love need to be better? Can we focus on that?
I don't like the word regressed. He just didn't have the kind of year he had the year before, which I guess is the definition of regress. I just don't like regressed.
Because you know? I think everyone will agree, Chew. I mean, I think we all agree. He needs to be better for the Packers to win this division, not be a 7 seed, host playoff games, get to an NFC championship game. Like if those are all the things the Packers want as goals, as accomplishments in 2025, their quarterback needs to play better.
Yes.
Not that he played bad last year. He just needs to be better than... Right? He had a good season last year. He needs to be better than good in order good quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls.
Well, you could probably say the same for the top five quarterbacks that have great years and then... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just a little more consistent. Bring it closer to where you were 2 years ago as opposed to this past year. Because you're not going to top everything every year. That's why there's a different MVP most times every year. Right? Mm-hmm. Just bring it closer together. Not as big a swing.
Yeah, we understand as a unit, growth is not linear. It is not always going to go up, up, up as far as your trajectory goes. However, in order for the Packers to achieve the goals, and we have said this, but I want to be clear because it feels like it is getting misinterpreted, misrepresented. In order for them to be where they want to be, he has to be better. Yes. And that's the expectation from the most important player, the most important position on the field. Willie and Tausch is next. Can't imagine that they somehow weave their way around this one today on Willie and Tausch. Stick around on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.